We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ken and others
are acting like straight bitches.
I'm not sure who Ken is. Curtis, your one-liners suck.
Or the morning show before that.
Next, you hear from Jerry, who says, but.
We have many arrangements for that, Lumpy.
And you definitely hate one of them.
That is Ken Laird.
At least.
Yeah.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
VV Day, Curtis. Big day for me. Stats and Southie heading to your neighborhood tonight for the big return to life 2 weeks after my second vaccine shot, and it is big. This is as big as Brady and the Bucks coming back for week four, I think.
It is massive. You can cut the tension with a knife in Southie this morning.
Yeah.
I ran into Joyce Cole-Haywick setting up a big red carpet,
all right,
entering stats. Short sleeve was there.
I should know who Joyce Cole-Haywick is, but I don't.
Joyce Cole-Haywick was the longtime WBZ entertainment reporter.
Oh.
Friend of Dino.
Okay.
And we had her on the show once with John. It was like very early Dennis and Callahan days for me. And it was like pre-Oscars or something. And everybody but Dino asked the questions. It was pretty embarrassing. But she was a very nice lady, and she covers the Stars, and you, sir, are a star.
Well, Matt Light's a star. He'll be there. Derek the Steelers fan is a quasi-star on the Greg Hill Morning Show. He will be there. A lot of people showing up tonight. I don't know if they'll be turned away at the door, but we'll have fun watching Bruins. Big show today, though. As big as that is, it's like, and I want to get to this Robert Kraft audio here in a second. We will do so. New Kraft audio out. New Bob Kraft on the street. Got to hear this. But it's like Bradford wrote about this today on the website. It's like it's all coming together.
I thought it, so I wrote it.
He may have called it that on Twitter. But last night, you get a curtain call. You get 10,000 fans in attendance at Fenway. You get the bottom of the order. You get the bridge plus Barnes locking it down. It was like life is back, baby. This is it. Vaccines are flying. The CDC is making odd rulings. Masks are gone. And our man Greg Hill, can we give his little tis scoop about what could be coming from Governor Baker Monday or no?
Let's rewind and say we didn't hear this from Greg. Our sources are telling me that Monday the governor of Massachusetts will announce that the state of Massachusetts will be mask-free 100% open for Memorial Day weekend.
The Friday of Memorial Day specifically is what he is hearing, our source is hearing.
Which means he stopped listening to Mary Lou, because Mary Lou Sutters was the queen of let's reopen on Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, but again, the CDC, but will there be a vaccine stipulation in this? Like, could Baker announce Monday, Fenway Park, 100% capacity? And by the way, this affects the Bruins big time, right?
And huge.
And the city of Boston's ruling on that, but this is a playoff run now. So could Baker announce 100% capacity, but vaccine mandatory, and you got to start showing a card to get in?
I think we're past that.
I don't know.
Yesterday Ken, that just like Super Bowl 55 removed any doubt of a conversation of Brady or Bill, like everybody was trying to hold on that maybe Mahomes would be better than Brady if he wins this one, and people were saying, well, if Brady loses, this is his one shot, so Bill still has a chance. It's over. Brady's the GOAT. It is Brady. It isn't Bill. And the masks,
just a bunch of lies, but good.
And the masks, as we knew them, are no longer necessary.
Well, not if you read today's. Did you read this thing from the NFL to their players? This NFLPA COVID-19 protocol update. Well, look at this. I'm telling you, this is your future, and you're vaccinated, by the way. So you should be happy with this. Doesn't bother you. You have a card.
No, I don't care. I'm not going to wear a mask again. I'm not going to show somebody a card.
You might have to show them a card. Here's the NFL is trying to coerce their players into getting vaccinated. Effective immediately, only fully vaccinated, underscored, tiered staff and players will not be required to wear masks anywhere in club facilities, either indoors or outdoors. Tiered staff and players who are not fully vaccinated must continue to wear masks. So this is one workplace. There's a million of them out there that are going to be going to this. You still wear masks unless you're vaccinated and you prove it to us somehow. So this is coming.
I have to believe that within that, actually, I don't have to believe it because the NFLPA is the producers here have more power than NFL players. It's pathetic. But it would be my guess that there's some stipulation that unless there are specific people who have like reasons why they wouldn't for health, you know, specific issues with the vaccine.
And there are those people, and I'll admit, you know, that's a thing.
Right. And so let's say Mike Evans, just picking a name out of a hat with the Bucks, doesn't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason. You think the Bucks are going to really be like, you need to wear a mask? They'll just say he got the vaccine. Like, how do they have to prove it?
Yeah, I guess. But then you have some of these sports teams popping up where, like, what was the WNBA team where everybody was vaccinated except the one chick and she got COVID?
We're not comparing anything to the WNBA.
Oh, SportsCenter led with it this morning. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, SportsCenter is now a wing of the Democrat Party. It is not a sports information show in any way, shape,
they
or form.
They actually were. It was getting political. They were mocking Medina Spirit for the cancel culture comment. It was good. It was actually, I was loving it. I thought I was watching Matto again.
By the way,
and Mutt's going to join us at 11:45 right. This morning for his picks.
I always think of Mutt when I hear Matto. the Bruins Capitals game tonight. Wiggy was a big talker this week on the Greg Hill Show that Wiggy thinks 300 million Americans are going to watch the Patriots and the Bucks in Week 4. He may or may not be right.
By the way, he went on an ESPN overnight show and said the same thing. Sarah Spain, and like she mocked him like right away. We have to get that audio.
I know. Tyler,
tell us about it.
Unbelievable. But tonight's Capitals Bruins game on NBC, following the Preakness with all of the
Medina,
the horse that shall not be named.
How does he handle the controversy is my question.
He's going to be joining Fitzy and Mago at 2 from the paddock. But we have tonight, it will be the highest rated Bruins. It'll be the highest rated playoff game in NBC history, non-Stanley Cup, tonight.
Wow. It is a big game. I mean, you think of the star power in this. Not to get off on the hockey, if I know you don't want to go too far down the hockey bubble. But you got Ovechkin and Backstrom. You got Tom Wilson. So you have that factor of the violence factor. You've got Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, who could have been the MVP if not for Connor McDavid. A lot of big names. First game of the playoffs. It launches the whole series. That's a good spot.
And you have two major markets. And you have the Bruins coming off a great year TV-wise. Ratings up big time for the Bees.
And NBA ratings are down. Who wants to watch any NBA games right now?
And you have the city of Boston, which has been title town for 2 decades, starving for a team that can contend. And the Bruins are our closest by a pretty long mile.
Yeah. That's all good stuff. All right. Now, so real quick on the vaccine thing. So you don't think Fenway, the Red Sox, sports teams here will require... I guess it's not their call. They're not going to want to do this. But would Baker possibly stipulate we can only get 100% at capacity if you're fully vaccinated, and then it's going to be on these venues to sort of prove it somehow?
Way that they're going to incentivize people to get vaccinated from here on out is that the world's open around you. So if you want to be protected, you need to get the vaccine. But we're not going to stop the world from spinning just because there are certain people in the population that haven't gotten vaccinated. I think if you go to a Red Sox game, first of all, it's outdoors. We're not even talking about an indoor arena.
But they're still making you have masks on, technically, right? I mean, most shots I see of the fans, they're not wearing the mask.
People in Boston are going to be, like, they're attached to their masks because they view it as this, like, sign of, like, solidarity against Trump. It's like, it's not even...
Well, not really, because Greg wears that stupid gator around everywhere, and he's obviously... It's obviously
he wears
a statement
the
in the
gator because it helps him look better without the chins. It's all about the image. I mean, come on, do you really think he wants to protect other people from his saliva?
Well, no, of
saliva?
Course not, but I'm saying it's almost, in his view, it's like a direct shot at the rest of the population. Anyway.
We're done with masks. We're done. It's over.
I don't know about
yesterday,
that.
I walked around Castle Island.
If vaccinated.
I walked around Castle Island. I didn't see a mask anywhere. It was spectacular. Beautiful day. We're going back to living.
Vaccine cards are coming. I'm telling you, they're coming. There's
For
too
what
much confusion.
Reason?
Because the CDC stipulation is only this if vaccinated, this other rule if not vaccinated. So you're gonna have to prove it somehow, which I have no problem with. I don't know why that's a big deal. I'll just pull out the card. It will spawn these illegal cards being created.
It sort of reminds you of times where that was part of fascism. I mean, we don't...
Okay.
It does.
It's showing a stupid card. Like, what's the big deal? Show the card.
The big deal is that we're just moving forward. If you are nervous or if you are afraid, you can wear a mask and you can get vaccinated.
All right. I don't want to go down this road. But anyway, I think that's a part. I think that's a part of the Monday Baker announcement. That's
okay.
My guess.
Can we just repeat here for everybody? According to our sources, the state of Massachusetts will be open fully, 100%, on Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
But that source is, he leans right, let's put it that way. So he's hope. That's a hope. He's hoping.
I mean, the guy that told us this is a really good baker.
All right, can we get to the Kraft audio?
Yeah.
This is actually fairly the huge week for you because your boy was just rubbing salt in the wound. He was continuing the celebration tour through his father. We'll get to that in a second. Another bad week for Brady. But Robert Kraft was tracked down by TMZ in Beverly Hills and was asked about, we know the date now, right? It's week 4, October 3rd. Huge date in Boston sports history. Maybe the largest. Certainly
yep.
Ticket-wise, and Wiggy will tell you exactly what that means. But the question now is, how's the reception from the team for Brady when he comes back? What's the reception from the fan base for Brady when he comes back? And I think the latter. It got worse for Tom this week based on what he chose to do through his dad and the hit piece he put out on Brand X. But this Kraft audio is very interesting. Now, take a listen. I don't think it's the best quality audio. TMZ's always like spaz man on the street stuff.
Kraft not wearing a mask.
Fully vaccinated, I'm sure. Here's Bob Kraft with TMZ talking about week 4.
Robert, I know you love Tom Brady. You guys always had a great relationship. He's returning to Foxborough. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm excited to have him.
You're excited, I mean.
And, you know, it's a great, he's a great guy, and he did so much for us. I love him.
And the tickets are going for, I heard, like, in the thousands. You know what I mean? Like, to the fans considering on the fence about getting that ticket, what do you say to those people?
Well, we should have a fun night.
Fun night?
But I'm excited for week 1 when we play Miami.
Miami. Mac Jones. What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
I'm excited to have him, but I'm excited to have Cam Newton, too.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Good to see him out there.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
Well, I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
Is that Bob Soucy?
I don't know. But I don't know why they had, like, tractor trailers in the background. But anyway, okay, excited to have him. He's a great guy. I love him. It'll be a fun night. He doesn't really say specifically we're going to roll out the red carpet. And he does pivot too quickly there. I'm excited for week 1. And then when asked about Mac Jones, he pivots to I'm excited for Cam. But do you think Kraft and the Patriots, based on hearing that, we're excited to have him, I love him, that's going to be their stance going into the game, and they're going to try to lay it on a little thick in terms of, speaking of red carpets, rolling out the red carpet for Tom to soften him up a little bit for the game?
Yes, I believe that Robert Kraft and the Patriots organization with Jonathan, this is not going to be a Bill idea or something that he's going to embark in, but I believe the team is going to lay it on thick, 20-year anniversary of the first championship that built the dynasty. There's going to be talk of a Brady statue. They are going to do whatever they can to play mind games with Tom.
Wait a minute. Talk of a Brady statue?
I wouldn't put it past them.
So how does that work?
Like, you leak it to Reese that, you know, the team's been in consultation with this guy who did the Russell statue in downtown. And
they will never put a statue outside while Brady is still playing, first
of all. They're not
all
going to put it there. They will leak the talk of the plans to build one.
So what will the options be? What will they say? Should it be
right
downtown?
Where do we want the Brady? What are we going to commemorate? We're going to commemorate Brady, you know, pumping his fist. Is it going to be Brady, you know, with the 28-3 comeback? What are we going to do? How is it going to come up? What, you know, where should we put it? I would like it in my house.
You know what? I shouldn't rule that out. I would say there's a 10% chance they commission a statue for Brady and unveil it on week 4.
Why not?
That would actually be kind of brilliant.
And who would dispute the fact that Brady eventually is going to get a statue?
And make it like a totally ugly one, like the one in the courtroom doc.
Right.
Where it's just Brady is just appalled by it.
And they can unveil the Ernie Adams statue in a dark room.
But I think you're starting to see. So Kraft tried to pivot off it, but when they're going to have to address this head on. And they're going to try to be, on the surface, lovey-dovey. And they're going to try to put something together for the pregame ceremony, I would think. Didn't somebody research what they did for Peyton in his return, and they did a pregame ceremony for
Peyton?
Yeah,
they pumped in crowd noise.
but the point is, they're not going to do it at halftime, obviously, because Brady's going to be playing in the game. I don't think they want to stop play at the first time out and do something there. That's obviously kind of a standard. They could do that.
Well, the one thing that could happen, which I hope doesn't, I hate that the Drew Brees, first of all, Drew Brees is overrated. But secondly, every time he hit a milestone, they would like stop the game for 15 minutes and like show his kids so Brady can potentially pass Brees,
which is amazing. And that has to be NFL planned.
Of course.
The more you think about it, right?
Of course. All of this is planned. They know this stuff. I remember in the past there was a game, I think it was 03 to 04, the Patriots won something like 22 consecutive games. So they were like 2-2 in 03. They went on to go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl, and then they won their first 7 games until they lost to the Steelers in 2004. And the game that they passed the all-time record for consecutive wins, on the actual ticket of our season ticket, there was 22 placed at different parts along the ticket because it was like this special commemoration that the team knew if they kept winning that 22 straight. I don't know the exact number, but that really happened. Like they do.
So
that
stuff. How did no reporters sniff this out? Because you were saying Thanksgiving and Volan was like the game's going to be in London or they're going to do a favor to Kraft. I mean, this is no favor to Kraft. If that's tactical, that is a big favor to TB12. The record at Foxborough in front of Belichick.
But the Krafts want to rewrite history. So they'll be there, and they are going to be magnanimous as magnanimous can get. They are going to do what they're going to fall on themselves, praising Tom.
I think yes, and it started last night with that TMZ audio.
Right, and I don't know, you know, who you talk to or where you get.
I don't talk to anybody.
Well, same derangement. Yeah, we only really talk to each other. We're doing it again. Anyway, the derangement that you have for Brady is insane. Like people, there's nobody.
Well, you heard it this week on our show. I mean, you mocked me because I said Brady's going to get booed at this game, and then we had several callers, I think 10 in a row, who said I'm done with Tom, and Danny from Quincy was on the line. You wouldn't take him,
right? Yep.
And he's going to call later, I'm sure.
Can't wait.
But he will get booed. Brady running out of the tunnel will get booed.
You are on crack.
Come on, picture this: the signature Brady running out of the tunnel in the pregame. You think that's going to be all cheers? You're insane. Yeah, Kendra will be there.
I can't believe it's May 15th and we're previewing the reaction of October 3rd. But
well, I mean, come on.
It's a huge story, I agree.
And this week didn't help. His father goes on Brand X and says he's salivating and we're going to kick your ass. That is incredible.
I am going to personally fund, through my dad's money, MMA boxers to be in and around Gillette Stadium. Whenever somebody boos Brady, they're going to go and kick that guy in the nuts.
Why? Those are better Pats fans than you are. You have bailed on the team.
If you boo Brady,
you wear Bucks gear every third day to the show.
It's, right. If you're angry,
it's sad.
If you're angry,
I mean, I'm not even a Pats fan, and it's just sad.
There are many things that make me sad. This is not one of them. Tom Brady. If you are a Patriots,
are you going to sell your dad's tickets?
No.
You're going.
I think my dad's going to go.
And he's not taking you. Good for him.
Yeah, probably.
Finally, thank you. Great job, John Curtis.
I don't want to go. The point is that if you are a Patriots fan and you boo Brady, just go home. Like, go punch yourself in the face.
How can you say that after this week, after yet another low moment for Brady? I know that's all we talk about on the show. I'm sure the text line is, I didn't even look, but I'm sure they're ripping us. All you guys do is talk about Brady. His father gives Belichick bulletin board material, stoops to those levels. Alex Reamer, terrific column at WEI.com. Why does Tom Brady keep stooping to these levels?
Why does Tom Brady Senior or Tom Brady Junior?
Well, it's with canned in hand. If Brady wanted
Reamer
to
does like attacking Brady's family.
Well, he admitted that. Well, he admitted something else in there. But if Brady wanted this to stop, he would have done it years ago. He does not stop. He does not put a filter on his father. He endorses it tacitly. It happened with Goodell and Deflategate. So, and it's happening again.
So then you should hate Bill Belichick too, right?
Why?
Did he apologize for Linda Holliday?
For Linda? That's a good point. You know, he should have.
Okay, so then both sides have done that, so you can't really blame one or the other.
Well, but it's Bill's first occurrence. For Brady Sr., this is now multiple. And this is pretty egregious.
I would say your spouse is more related to you than your father or mother.
Well, I don't think so.
You don't think that your dad, when he was around, would take things more personally than you would on your behalf? You know, if somebody said something to Maya at the park today,
yep,
you would be more enraged than Maya would be.
I mean, yeah, of course, but that's the same as a wife. I mean, well, you know,
right? But I think that if your wife is speaking out, that's more directly related to how you feel.
So, do you think Brady did this as retaliation for that little shot from Linda?
I don't think it was well thought out.
Oh.
He called in the middle of a Brad Stevens interview. I mean, and then the idiot who answered the phone.
Pissed off at that.
The producer said, no, try back later while Brad was just meandering about a zone defense.
Did you talk to your boy Bertrand about this? Is that,
he doesn't talk to me anymore.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, Zoe's a good friend. I believe.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it.
Zoe? I love Zoe.
Oh, Zoe's a good friend.
Yeah.
But not Bertrand.
No. Sensitive little cupcake. But, yes,
I
believe that this was a guy who's in Boston. He's hearing the Patriot fans get excited for the season.
I thought he was hearing a Brad Stevens interview.
Okay. He's in Boston. He's with his daughter, I believe. And he is, you know, all worked up about the game coming up. He's excited. And he's like, why the hell are we in this position? He's angered about how the Brady situation ended. And like anybody who loves their son, he calls into it. I'm sure he gets along well with Zoe. Zoe's been traveling with the team forever. And he, you know, had some nice, competitive juices flowing.
Competitive juices, I would say. We expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly. And that was after he was going on like about, well, you can't underestimate any opponent. We don't know that we're going to be 3-0 going into that game. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to kick the Patriots' ass in week four. It's incredible. And if Brady wanted to stop, he would have done it a long time ago. And this is a great point by Reamer, as he writes. Brady, back in January, Brady Sr. snuck in a dig at the Patriots head coach then during an interview with the Boston Herald's Karen Garigian. I'm guessing Bill is on the hot seat right now. Good point. I forgot about that one. You have the hot seat comment. You've got the Goodell thing. Brady never had the balls himself to rip Goodell to his face. He had to go through a surrogate, through daddy, and he did it again this week. I don't know how you like your opinion of this guy doesn't change. As the weeks go on, it's just one thing after another. Last week was the yacht. Are you a yachty 77-footer?
Why
the Northeast comment.
Why should that make my opinion of him change? He said he doesn't like the weather. I hate the weather
here. He's turned his back on this region. Now he's like he's going out of his way to just lay it into Bill.
So he needed to do more than win six Super Bowls here. He didn't do enough for the people of New England.
There's just no reason to soil it like this. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, and the Patriots, to their credit, are going to take the high road. You're right. They're going to roll out the red carpet. But to think all fans there are going to be approval, you know,
Bill
cheering.
Belichick told Chris Sims that they could win with any top 15 quarterback.
You don't know that. You're speculating.
Lombardi, I mean, Belichick has used his moles in the media to crap on Brady for decades. I mean, what are you talking about?
I don't think Bill uses Lombardi. You think Bill actually uses Lombardi?
That's his only service in life.
Lombardi was spilling draft secrets, like good ones, last month. Bill wouldn't want that.
Lombardi's son has a job on Belichick's staff as a payment for carrying Bill's water in the media.
All right, more on this. I guess the essential question is, I think I've asked this question like every time, every week the show's been on. Has your opinion of Tom Brady changed with another low moment this week? 617-779-7937. And how should the Pats handle the Brady return? What should they do? Should they build a statue? Pre-game ceremony? Will there be booze?
And
I
just got a text from Stats. Mary Lou Sutters will be in the dunk tank tonight at 7:30.
Oh, yeah. And will you need a vaccine? Do you have a problem if places start requiring vaccine cards to get in at 100% capacity with this new only if vaccinated can you do X, which we think Monday Baker might announce it affects the sports arenas. 100% capacity at Fenway only if fully vaccinated. Will they have like vaccine only sections? I don't know how they're going to
do it. You heard it here first. You can plan a wedding as of Memorial Day weekend. The city is going to be open. Masks are for the birds. We are living again. Thank you, Tom Brady and Jesus Christ.
I mostly agree with that, but Greg's often wrong, so I don't want to put too much stock into it. But let's get to what's trending here on the Ken and Curtis Show.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
This is the biggest matchup in all of sports history. Don't get it twisted. You're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time versus the greatest coach of all time, the defensive genius in Bill Belichick. And those two guys have had more success than any tandem in any sport in history, and they are going to be matching up when they're still kind of at the peak of their performance. Brady's coming off a Super Bowl win. I know Bill had a down year, but, you know, as a coach, he's still the best in the business. I've never seen a matchup like this. And I don't think you can ever find one, and you probably never will find one again. I understand it's a regular season game, week four, but there's never been, never will, and probably never up to this day will be a matchup that'll be of this type of magnitude.
That's Wiggy. He sounds different when he's on the phone.
Very
odd. Anyway, Wiggy on, was that ESPN Radio, Sarah Spain? Somebody was laughing at him in the background. How could you not? Hyperbole from Wiggy. Obviously, it's a huge game. What was the number, the ratings number he threw out initially?
Okay, initially he said 200 million people would watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I showed him that the Super Bowl is around 100 million.
Yeah.
And he said, well, this will be the same or more than the Super Bowl.
He was being facetious. He said, well, at the 200 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but 100 million is being legit.
Yeah.
And so we have, I think, lunch. I don't even know what we have on it. But the highest rated, most viewed, not the highest rated, the most viewed regular season game of all time was, I believe, Week 17, 2007, 16-0 Patriots. That game was on NBC, CBS, and the NFL Network. And that got 35 million views with two major markets and a team going for a perfect regular season.
Which game was that?
A couple hundred million.
The final game of the 2007 regular season.
2007. Because that year as well, Peyton and Brady played. And I don't know what the ratings were for that, but they were both undefeated at the time.
Right. That was like Week 8.
That had to be huge ratings as well.
Huge. And
I think that'll probably be bigger than this game.
I don't,
because this game would be huge, obviously, in Boston and in Tampa, but otherwise,
Wiggy puts me in this bizarre position. Like, I've been so excited for this game since Brady signed last year, okay? So I think it's going to be massive. For me, it's going to be the biggest regular season of any kind, of any sport ever. But there's a good chance Thursday night, Bucks-Cowboys will do a bigger number nationally than Patriots at the Bucks, or Bucks at the Patriots in Week 4.
Yeah, I guess it depends how the Patriots look early, which is maybe kind of to the NFL's point. They needed to get this game early in the season in case they stink, and then they get no viewers.
Right.
I mean, if the Pats are 2-7 or something and they play, that's a bit. But you do have to go back to the fact that Brady can break that record on that night, the passing record. He's 1,154 yards back of Drew Brees. If he averages 289 a game, he breaks it there at Foxborough. That has to be planned.
And is there any doubt in your mind? Let's say Brady, I don't know how good the Cowboys secondary is this year, but let's say Brady has a great first three games.
Yeah.
And he's about 15 yards shy in the fourth quarter of Week 3 against the Rams. I guarantee you Arians is like, give it to Fournette the rest of the game. We're going to get you to throw those next 15 yards next week in Foxborough.
Oh, totally. Great call. And he'll want Gronk to break it, I guess.
Right, he'll put Kyle Trask in.
Or Antonio Brown, who's now getting sued by the trash guy. And by the way, tough news, the Def Leppard rejoined. Don't want to let that pass. They canceled the Def Leppard Motley Crue tour. They postponed it the next year.
Jeez.
Everything's coming back except that tour. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I'm done with Antonio Brown. I will not tolerate people being rude to trash people.
I know, you know. Yeah, you're a big defender of theirs. Text line was very lively in the first segment. You can text the show, 37937. I feel like Greg here doing the head crane to look over there. I hate you, Ken. This is from a 508 texter. Brady Sr. is friends with Zoe. You don't think Zoe might have said in passing when he saw him, hey, Tom Sr., call us anytime. We'd love to hear your voice about the Tom in Tampa and such. And Sr. was in town and called Zoe. Yeah, I think that's all probably true. I that's not my point. The point is, if Junior wanted this behavior to go away, he would have put a stop to it long ago. Therefore, he's tacitly endorsing said behavior.
But this is where you and Reamer are wrong. Brady has openly said he's tried to curtail his father's conversations. You remember?
Has he really?
When Brady, before last season, I believe the only place we heard Tom Sr. was on Del Curry's podcast. And he waxed poetic about Bill. And he said, you know, Bill and Tom did a lot of great things together, and certain relationships come to an end, and I wish them nothing but the best, and we're so grateful for the six titles we had together. I mean, he has said that going back to before last season.
Yeah, and then none of it matters, because then he says, I'm guessing Bill is on a hot seat right now, and he throws those little jabs in.
Right, and none of it matters, because we finally heard how Bill was watching the divisional playoff game when his wife lied about Brady's performance on Instagram. Like, both sides are mad at each other. You and I have agreed on that for 5 years.
Well, this 678 texter agrees with that. Linda Holiday's transgression was worse because Bill broke down film and told her what to say.
Bingo. He was like Gresh.
I love this text, 207. Tom Brady is such a badass, he has to have Daddy call into sports radio to trash talk. I hope Belichick has the air pressure checked.
Oh, yeah. I hope Belichick has the right cameras on the sideline there, Einstein.
413. Couldn't root harder for Brady to lose and fail in life.
That's a positive
thing. I mean, at least admit this. He will get booed by some. You will admit that. There will be some boos.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. He's going to be introduced and he is going to get a unanimous ovation before the game.
Before the game ceremony.
They're going to do something regarding the 20-year anniversary of the first Super Bowl title.
But before that, the first time we'll see him is pregame running out of the tunnel.
Right, and he will not be booed.
Yes, he will. Come on, Curtis. He will get booed by some.
I'll bet you.
He's in a rival jersey coming out. He'll get booed. Chara would get booed. Mookie, Kyrie.
Boston is not the way it used to be, Ken. Like, we gave an ovation to Buckner. We give ovations to Mariano Rivera. We gave an ovation to Jeter when he left.
This one hurts, though. And this is different, too, I got to say. And by the way, it's amazing. The Bruins are playing Chara tonight. Mookie already went somewhere and won a World Series. Kyrie is the odds-on favorite to win an NBA title. Chara could vary. I don't think the Capitals are going to win the Cup this year. But at least this series. He could stick it to them in this series. And then you had Brady winning last year. But of all those four, the Brady one hurts the most. It's personal. And now he's also going out of his way to stick the knife in. Even Kyrie has been, for the most part, on his best behavior when talking about Boston.
So you think Boston fans have a higher regard for Kyrie than Tom Brady?
Oh, boy, that's tough. That's
if that's tough, you need to go home right now.
For some people, it's close. You've heard Danny. He said Tom Brady's an ass.
What did Kyrie Irving do here?
Nothing.
Okay, what did Brady do?
But at least he hasn't blown up the bridge after leaving.
The Patriots are now the Bulls after Jordan.
Yeah, they're favored to hit a playoff spot. The Bulls after Jordan were just dead, right? Last place?
The Patriots
are still relevant.
They're 9 wins is the over-under.
No, they're going to win 11. Most people think they're 11-6.
Okay.
And second place in the division.
The people that build casinos based on these things thinks their over-under is 9.
Yeah, but that's just to get even betting on both sides. Most sharps, Curtis, most people in the know, look at that schedule. They're going to win 11 games.
The fact that you just have the audacity to compare and contrast Kyrie Irving and his contributions to this city and Tom Brady.
I just said, which one hurts more? Like, okay, so you're watching these four people, these four prominent athletes who used to play here, now go on to success. Which one hurts the most? Brady, Kyrie, Mookie, or Chara? And it's Brady. And you agree with that.
Right, but you said that the feelings of fans in Boston are similar towards Brady and Kyrie Irving.
In terms of how painful it is to watch them succeed with another franchise.
It's not pain. People didn't think Kyrie couldn't play. They thought Kyrie couldn't play here. They thought he was a total selfish a-hole.
Not Wiggy.
You're always going to have Wiggy to use as a dumb person who can jump onto your argument.
He's one of our co-hosts on our show.
Outside of Wiggy, who has this bizarre obsession with Kyrie Irving, I have not heard a single person.
I bet you now there are more Celtics fans who regret Kyrie leaving much more so than they did at the start of the year.
Right now,
the franchise, would you agree, the Celtics look lost beyond repair. Ainge has no plan whatsoever to fix it, and that's because Kyrie left without getting anything for it. People would take him back now in a heartbeat.
This is the dumbest take in the history of Boston sports radio.
It's not at all. It's actually, I bet you this is consensus. You don't think Brady's success is not more painful than the other four by far?
Of course.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying that Brady left and won a Super Bowl immediately.
Yeah.
Proving all the BS about how the Bill did it was the way you could win.
He's winning, yes.
He at 43 years old, without an offseason, to a brand new team, in the middle of a pandemic, he beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. To get 7 against the team is the number one team in the NFL right now.
We know all this. It hurts.
Kyrie Irving hasn't won jack crap.
Well, he's going to.
He's just converted to Islam. That's the only thing he's done. What has he
played
done?
Pretty well this year.
What has he won?
They beat the Celtics twice this year, and he's been a big part of it.
What has he won?
He's been saging the arena when he comes back.
That's a good point. What has he won since he left here?
I bet you they win the title this year.
Okay. What has he won?
Okay, this is only the first season, right?
I mean, you were the one yelling. He disappeared for a birthday party for like a month this year.
I don't like him. I dislike him very, very
Everybody
much.
Here dislikes him, too. They don't want him here. They are glad he's gone.
I think I'm glad he's gone, but the Celtics now are in such a bad state. I might even consider, like, if you were given the option to flip the switch and bring him back and lose Tatum and Brown.
I would rather drive cross-country with Trenny than have Kyrie Irving return to the Celtics.
Drastic. Keith in the car on the Ken and Curtis Show. First up today. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Hey, guys. Nice, beautiful Saturday. I just wanted to say that, Ken, you're absolutely wrong, dude. It's Brady. This is my prediction for the game. He threw 35 of 38, four touchdowns, QBR of 100+, and the score is going to be 43-0.
Ooh.
I want him to come in here and shellack the Patriots, and this is why. And this is part of the reason why his father is speaking out. I mean, remember when I don't know if it was a championship game, if it was a Super Bowl, when Brady hurt his finger or hurt his thumb and ripped it open. I guess it was way worse than the media let on.
Right.
And what did Belichick do? He had disparaging remarks against the greatest football player that has ever played the game.
Open heart surgery.
I can't stand Belichick. I'm not a Pats fan, so that's probably why I'm a little biased towards Brady. But I think the way he treated Tom Brady, I mean, he treats the other players that didn't do half as much for New England Patriots way better than he ever treated Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's got nothing to apologize for. He's going to come in here, hold his head high, and he's going to walk out a winner. I'm telling you right now.
That's a great point. Great call, Keith. And the other thing is if you're Tom Brady Sr. and you clearly are still paying attention to what's going on with the Patriots, and all you hear from Tom is that he wants to be appreciated and have fun. That was what his wife said. I believe that's what he was asking for. And then you leave.
He was treated so poorly.
And then
it's unbelievable. God, Belichick had the audacity to say it's not open heart surgery. He couldn't take it.
And then you leave, and a quarterback who is a disgrace to the position.
Stop it. He is not.
He was the worst quarterback.
Hall of Famer.
Dave Donahue at the River School threw a better pass than Cam Newton. Cam Newton then.
He had COVID.
Belichick gave him a bubble bath after every game, waxing poetic about nobody works harder, nobody cares more. Like, he was praising a guy who clearly sucked after not praising a guy who that's all he asked from the head coach for 20 years.
Certainly, so if Tom's, you know, an iconic figure in this organization.
See, look
nobody
at that praise.
Nobody respects Tom more than I do.
Listen to that. He's just effusive
so,
in his praise.
So if you're
great, great cut, Luke.
That was unbelievably effusive, yes. If you're Tom Brady Sr., that irks you too. I that would bother me.
Is there a topic here of Kyrie Brady? I think there is, and it bothers you. So which is a bigger loss for the region? Kyrie or Brady?
I thought I was going to
617-779-7937. And maybe worse than the Brady Sr. call-in this week was something that was said to Dan Shaughnessy. We do have to address that coming up next on Ken and Curtis.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Shared it with some of my teammates, as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. You guys will have me back. I plan on re-signing here next year.
There it is. Judas number one, before Brady took the great mantle. It's Ken and Curtis. Before we get back to this, and I put the poll question up, by the way, and a lot of calls on this. Which former Boston athlete's success leaves a worse taste in your mouth? Brady, Kyrie, Mookie, or Chara? Kyrie, it's only 7 votes in, leading the way. So I think that's a very scientific poll. 71%.
For me, it's Chara. I just can't watch him as a capital.
Yeah, it really should only be two, because, I mean, actually, if Chara wins the cup, most people, I think, would be like, great, good for him. Awesome guy, 14 years the captain. Did right by this franchise, wanted to come back, and they didn't want him as a bit player. I mean, they wanted to play him every other night.
I think it was over like $500,000.
I'm kind of rooting for him in the series, to be honest, just because I don't want Wiggy to be after every game, he's going to be looking at his ice time. And if God forbid, he pulls a puck out of the net after a goal.
Right. But here's this thing. I gave two stone cold locks, and they were right last week. It was the Bees and then the Celtics. Bees, Rangers, and the Celtics Sunday game against the Heat. I'm not going to do this here, but if you like money and you listen to the morning show this week or at any point, fade Wiggy has worked brilliantly. He was killing Brady when he went to Tampa. Brady wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I really believe that there is a chance that Chara just has the series of his life this year.
Scores like a 5 goals out of nowhere from the blue line.
Right. So I don't know if you can.
It's scary. I agree.
I have the Bees in 5. I watched the film. Dale and I zoomed last night.
You wanted them in 3. I know you were pushing
for
that.
I did. And, you know, I really believe that this is going to come down to who's heaviest with the puck.
By the way, we're now 30 votes in. Kyrie is winning this poll.
Chara wasn't giraffed on skates.
Giraffed?
I don't know. Which former Boston athlete's success leaves a worse taste in your mouth? Kyrie over Brady.
What success has Kyrie Irving had?
He's going
had?
To have success. Unless Philly beats him, he is going to win an NBA title.
Ken, you're a smart guy.
He
you
is
graduated
the betting
magna
favorite.
Cum laude.
He is the betting favorite.
Right. You said, whose success? That means already occurred.
Curtis, he's going to win. I mean, that
but that's not the
is
question of the poll, Ken.
Okay, so I should save the poll for 2 weeks from now or well, a month from now.
We're basing it on what has occurred, not what's yet to occur.
All right, well, it's going to occur. I'm telling you. Now.
The Lozano kid should be playing over Char.
I think Lozano's going to have a big series.
Who is Lozano?
You meant Lozano.
Are all the Bruins now Italian in Wiggy's mind?
I think so.
Okay.
Here's the excerpt from the Danny Ainge interview with Dan Shaughnessy that is the most troubling thing of the week.
And, more troubling than Wiggy saying giraffe?
And more troubling, I think, is that some Celtics fan are fine with it. I saw that guy Barstool Greeny was like getting on Twitter. He's defending Ainge's plan to keep. Ainge is not changing anything, all right? Can we agree on this? Here's the quote. Ainge says to Shaughnessy, quote, "Let me ask you a question. Do you think if we had Kemba and Jalen and Jason and Fournier and Robert Williams and Marcus Smart, do you think that team would be more fun to watch? Well, all I am saying is there is hope. I can't dispute anything you said, and I'm not trying to defend it. I'm saying there are good things that are happening," end quote. They are changing nothing. Like, the top eight is coming back. Brad Stevens is coming back. They are blaming COVID and injuries.
If this were the head of the Red Sox or the Patriots saying those things after going 13 years without a championship, they would be mocked and ridiculed, rightfully so. I'm not a huge hoop guy, but correct me if I'm wrong. Kemba came here with injury concerns, correct?
Yes,
so,
very much so.
Like, you can't say if he were healthy. Well, part of the reason you got him was that he was injury prone. He wasn't as desired elsewhere. And the notion that you always go back and you're like, well, if this, if that. This reminds me of every trade deadline in the NBA where Danny, you know, say the deadline occurs at 4 o'clock. At 4:05, there's 16 stories from Bullpet to Forsberg to Acherod saying they were in on X. They were in on Anthony Davis. They were in on Kyrie. They were in on this guy. And it's just to create the facade that they were really close to pulling off these deals. It's like, you ever do a scratch ticket? You're always one number off from winning the $1 million.
Yeah,
and you're
no,
like,
I was
so
it.
Close.
Yeah,
no, it really wasn't at all. But that's what they do to make it, you know, seem like you're going to win the next one. And I just find it to be the most bizarre relationship, which is the media in this town, specifically Celtics media, and their love affair with Danny Ainge. It's like the 80s guys are just weak in the knees when it comes to criticizing him in any way.
Yeah, and we had Jeff Goodman on last week, and it sparked a big week for Jeff. And he said it's either get rid of the coach or you trade Brown. And it's like, that is a non-starter. That neither of those are happening. Would you agree with that?
Right.
And I mean, Ainge is not doing that, either of those.
But that's going to work for Celtics fans. Celtics fans will do anything. They just buy in hook, line, and sinker. No matter what it is,
right.
They're going to say, well, we were close.
COVID.
If we were healthy.
If we were all healthy.
Well, that's the point.
I mean, yeah, you're right. And Kemba's never going to be healthy.
Right.
That's not happening. And Perk is calling for at least Marcus Smart to be done, which I would take, okay, at least that. But he was asked, I think, Ainge on Brand X about Smart, and he said, "I'm not, you know, they're not getting rid of Marcus Smart either."
And the non-greed teamers have told you they're done. The ratings this year for the Celtics games have been awful.
Yeah,
they're not a likable team.
They are the least likable team in Boston. And you're going to bring that same least likable team. It's like bringing the chicken and beer team back.
Right. I remember back in 2004, the Sox went from like June until August playing 500 baseball, and Tony Maz and the Herald at the time wrote that they're the Fortune 500s. And I really believe this team is the latest incarnation of that. 500 basketball, very, very unlikable. They don't play a style that is, you know, I don't understand how they can possibly come back with the same thing.
Yeah,
next year.
I agree with you. And by the way, back to my poll, which might be my finest work yet in doing a Twitter poll. Which former Boston athlete's success leaves the worst taste in your mouth? Kyrie is winning 38% to 30 over Brady, and Mookie is a close third, 29%. So Mookie's success does bother some. I mean, I can understand that because should he still be here? Yes, in a way. I mean, I don't think he wanted to play here, but
I don't sense that there's a real like longing for Mookie Betts. I feel like this team, Verdugo especially, has been
Yeah, but how would he look with Verdugo? I mean, obviously that was part of the trade, but like, how would he look with?
Honestly,
how would he still look here with the rest of this?
Oh,
lineup?
He'd be a great player, but
Devers and Martinez, etc.
He's an MVP, but I honestly think there are some people that are just happy Price is gone, and if it required getting rid of Mookie too, it's fine.
If you're right about that, Kyle and Lowell on the phone lines here on Ken and Curtis. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going? So first, I just gotta say, talk to Curtis real quick, and then you know, let me talk about the Celtics. So, you know, Curtis, I'm starting, you know, I forgot why I couldn't stand you. I'm starting to like you on the 6 a.m. show, and you just reminded me this morning. It's numbness like you who drove Kyrie out of town while the Celtics suck. Like, come on, dude. Like, you got to admit, what? You were wrong about the Kyrie Irving situation, about how we needed to get rid of him. Jason Tatum was up and coming. You guys were all yelling that at the top of your mouths.
Yep, you're right.
And there was very few who kept saying, no, you don't get rid of Kyrie. You keep him. He's the best player you have on the team. You got to make it work around him. It was never Kyrie Irving's problem. It was Jason Tatum the whole time. He doesn't play hard. Now, my other point with the Celtics.
Kyle, can I just reply to that quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, good point. I was saying that at the time, but I still wouldn't want Kyrie on this team. I find him impossible to root for. I would much rather root for this team.
You're letting your issue of not liking Kyrie Irving as a person get in the way with how he impacts the Celtics as a basketball team organization.
Well, I don't know him as a person. I don't know. I'm not saying personally. I just, the way he acts, you know, what he shows us, I find to be something that's hard to root for.
And in basketball, you have to get over the annex, because all the players, they all have their own little diva, little attitude. We've admitted that.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the Celtics, like Danny Ainge, come on, man. Like, we have needed a big for years and years and years. Like, the Marcus Smart situation, have you seen what Julius Randle has been doing in the NBA this year?
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow, too.
That was the Marcus Smart pick right there. Why we didn't take a big? Why we didn't take the homegrown kid, Noah Vonleh, in that draft? He's still out there unsigned right now. There's bigs all around the NBA who are young and athletic, and we want to roll with Grant Williams. We had Robert parked on the bench for the past 3 years like bozos. Like, I just don't understand what Danny's doing. Like, we have multiple draft picks, not to mention taking Kelly Olynyk over Giannis. Like, there's freak bigs. If he hasn't noticed the trend in the NBA, you draft these freak bigs and you develop them. Our inability to hit on these freak bigs and develop them like every other NBA team is, per the Nuggets, Utah. I mean, you could go down the list of teams who are drafting these bigs and developing them.
Would you fire? Kyle, would you get rid of Ainge?
Listen, I really don't know. Like, I personally like Ainge. Like, I know him a little bit personally, growing up, like, in the New England basketball circuit. So I can't tell you. Like, I personally, like, I thought it's Jason Tatum's problem. Like, he's the star on the team, but it's a mix between Brad Love and small ball and Jason Tatum not being able to play that stretch four. He's not a dog. Like, you need a Draymond Green. You need a dog at that four position if you're going to go small ball. Not to mention, we don't have any bigs. It kills us. So the mix of Jason Tatum not being able to play a big four, like a rough physical four, and not having any bigs, it kills us. It's been doing it for years. We would have won the conference championship against the Cavs back in the day. Ken, your boy Tristan Thompson killed us in Game 7. It was
yes,
a joke. We should have won. Tristan Thompson, the bum of the NBA, killed us in Game 7.
He wouldn't have been a bum if they had good pieces around him this year. But a lot of good points.
That was a good take by you in the Celtics season this year.
Thank you. I got to admit, he makes some good points about Kyrie. I mean, maybe you do just have to get over that. It's the NBA. You need that talent.
And you know what?
Maybe they needed it.
I was blinded maybe because the team, when he and Gordon were hurt, Hayward,
yep,
that team was so likable, was such a scrappy team that went, you know, I mean, that was a joy to watch.
If Kyrie just didn't suck in that series.
Right. No, but I'm saying the next year when he came back,
oh, yeah,
you know, but that team, I would have much preferred that team. And then Kyrie, you know, I still am reserving judgment. I don't think the Nets are going to win it all this year.
You think the Embiid and the Sixers?
Yeah.
Ray and Revere on Ken and Curtis. Hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. Two things about Brady. First, I think he and his old man are both their own men. They're going to say whatever they want. And second thing, I remember a conversation, an interview that I saw Red Auerbach doing once, where he was talking about Russell at the end of his career and how he used to come to practices and read the newspaper. And one of the players challenged Auerbach on and said, hey, how come Russell's not here practicing? And he said, because he's still a Russell. You know, and I can't stop thinking about that as it relates to Belichick. You know, the greatest coach and executive in basketball history recognized he had the best asset that was ever going to happen. And he knew that player didn't need motivation. He knew that player needed rest, and he trusted the player. And, you know, I just think my objection to the Brady situation is Belichick just mismanaged the asset entirely. And then not only that, they have the hammer in the NFL. You know, they can always put the franchise tag on. So ultimately, Brady's not shooting. He didn't shoot his way out of town like Rodgers is doing. They had to let him out of town.
They let him out, yeah.
You know, and the fact that
but that's Kraft, right? You know, that was Kraft, not Bill, I'm sure.
But hear my point. So the NFL, they have the hammer, okay? And he left as gracefully as he could, okay? And he didn't throw any rocks on the way out. And he had the ultimate come up and see one right away with a non-playoff team. You know, so, and that, for that matter, he played all season on a bum knee. We're finding out that he had major knee surgery. I mean, the dude literally hasn't missed a game in 12 years. And the guys who replaced him, they can't stay on the field. I mean, his greatness is so, it transcends so much that it is amazing to me that Belichick could not treat him a little differently.
I mean,
and I think it was a huge mistake.
That's a good call. And you can't dispute, Ray, that he mismanaged the asset.
I mean, how, again, so what are we talking about here?
Okay, here's what I'll tell you. And
Player of the Week award?
No, I'll make it very clear. Bill Belichick wanted to go with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017 and be done with Tom Brady.
And if you believe that report, tried to offered him up to the Niners.
So that would have been one of the worst mistakes in the history of sports.
Well, you don't know that. Jimmy might have won.
Jimmy might have won. I mean, since then, Brady's won two titles, and then in the one they lost, he threw 500 yards in the Super Bowl.
He's 1-1. Jimmy's 0-1. Pretty close.
He's been to three Super Bowls.
Coming up next.
Jimmy Garoppolo has played.
We're out of time.
He finished one season. How can you dispute that?
We'll be right back.